Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Tonight, we got a heavier topic, and that is remembering Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was assassinated yesterday, September 10th, 2025. And gotta say, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do a live stream on this week, you know, and, you know, this came up, and it's, wow, it's just tragic news. You know, God always provides something to talk about, but sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be this heavy. Like, we had other things in mind that we could have talked about tonight, but this is definitely, you know, we're gonna do like a top 10 stories of the year, and I don't know how Charlie Kirk getting assassinated is not a top 10 story of the year for, you know, Evangelical Dark Web and, you know, Christianity at large, evangelicalism at large. I don't know how this is not a top 10 story of the year. It's very tragic. It's definitely shook the nation, and the vibes have shifted so much that, you know, the NFL did a moment of silence earlier tonight for Charlie Kirk. The New York Yankees did a moment of silence, and it sounds like, you know,
well, they did it twice. They did it yesterday, and then they did it today. And Trump is in attendance at the Yankees game today.
Oh, wow. So they did it twice. So that's.
I don't know if they did a moment of silence yesterday, but they recognized it.
Yeah. So, like, the whole nation is rightfully shook by this. And there's a lot to talk about. This is a major historical event that has happened, and it will have lasting consequences and implications, which is what we're going to get into tonight. But first, you know, introduction. This is Anthony. And how are you tonight?
All is well, minus the subject matter of today's conversation.
Yeah, it was. Like, yesterday I could hardly work. And then, I mean, today was better, but because I, you know, sold a lot today. But yeah, it was very difficult to focus yesterday with all that went on. There's just a lot of thoughts. I'm going to give some, you know, just some opening thoughts. And the sad thing is, like, if you're tuning in for, like, new updates on, you know, the manhunt for the killer and all that, there isn't any. Like, there's hardly any updates on the events, which is kind of a concerning thing. Like, if I had to give my impression, like, it sounds like a professional hit, or maybe semi-professional, but a little bit coordinated. Like, they... two suspects were apprehended and then released because one of them was carrying a pellet gun. So that, a lot of
and
weird
also
stuff going
shouting
on.
Like that he had done it, like, or like shouting shoot me, and like, yeah, he was belligerent. If he was not part of it, he was being belligerent.
Yeah, so that's the scary thing is, or, you know, concerning thing is, you know, this could have been organized in multiple different ways, but we'll get into the tinfoil section later, because there are definitely some eerie things going on with all of this. Yeah, 4chan outperforming the FBI, says the chat, and yeah, it is a little bit concerning when, you know, this is a very, we have a lot of surveillance in this country, and we have no, we've not gotten the killer yet, who shot Charlie Kirk from but looks like over 120, 140 yards. I'm measuring in yards right now. Or
450
feet. A 151 yards?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's a pretty incredible distance to nail someone. I don't think they were aiming for the neck, but... So I do wonder, like, were they aiming for the neck, or did they just get the neck? Because, you know, professional snipers don't aim for the neck. They don't aim for the head either. Like, that's a Call of Duty thing, which maybe the shooter was thinking this was Call of Duty and was aiming for the head and, you know, got the neck instead. But, yeah, that was a brutal shot to the neck. And there's a lot of conflicting reports immediately when he was in the hospital. I'm like, I don't see him pulling out of this because, you know, first of all, everyone kind of makes it to the hospital. Like, JFK died in a hospital. Like, he got his brains blown out from the grassy knoll, but he still made it to the hospital and died afterwards.
I think even Lincoln was able to get
Yeah, even Lincoln died in the hospital. So that was him getting to the hospital wasn't really a relief at all. I mean, because
if you saw the up close video, it was the carotid artery, and yeah, it looked like it was instant. Like,
so
I mean, yeah, you might not be fully dead, but yeah, that the chances were slim, especially if you saw the video. You kind of knew it wasn't that was very intense, and it would have taken a miracle to have survived that.
And so some people in the comments are saying it hit him in the chest and it bounced up, which is that really how body armor works?
Maybe. It looked like, well, it would have been like the upper chest, like shoulder, and then it ricocheted. But yeah, and also the idea of like the curvature, like that's why breastplate was curved, because it would deflect the arrows off rather than absorb them. But I mean, yeah, they did say he was wearing a vest, and you could kind of see like the strap underneath his shirt.
I mean, that would be the reason not to aim for the chest if you're a sniper. But at the same time, armor is not rated for every caliber of weapon, but certainly that level of caliber at that distance, you know, there's a lot of math that factors into whether the armor would protect you from caliber at what distance.
Well, so, even, or it could just mitigate.
Yeah. Like your bullet resistance, you're not really bulletproof either way, because you still feel that.
But yeah, he came prepared for such a scenario. And
there was security too, and it still happened. So it's a very sad event. It shook the whole country and maybe even the whole world. Shot heard around the world. But 2025 edition. And America definitely has not been this shook since Donald Trump was shot at last year in Butler, Pennsylvania. So that, and I said this, it's like Donald Trump getting shot won an election. Charlie Kirk getting shot won a generation. This was a political job. This was a political assassination, but it's not an effective one. This isn't like when the Republican nominee or would-be nominee was assassinated in 1936. That name I'm forgetting, but they're, Dumfries. You know, what?
Was it Dumfries or?
I'm forgetting the name. But then they ended up running like one of the worst candidates in history of the Republican Party instead of the guy who, you know, was a pretty based candidate for that era. So there have been effective political assassinations. We can talk about, you know, the presidente of Mexico and how all her competitors just disappeared. Or we can talk about, you know, in Germany, they've, you know, was it seven?
Well, I mean, Germany's a little weird.
Seven politicians have been killed off in this area.
Well, it's strange on Germany because a lot of them were also geriatric. It's just like this is the party of the youth, and they're running a bunch of geriatrics as their.
Well, yeah, it's like
so. Some of them might have just been like old.
This is the base Republican. Or this is the base party in Germany, and they're running a carpet munching
dyke.
Yeah, that was already covered, but yes. So anyway, foreign carpet muncher, but. Who loves the Persian rugs. I'm kidding. She was Sri Lankan, but I don't know what Sri Lanka is known for. But with that said, Charlie Kirk, yeah, this is going to have the opposite effect because Charlie Kirk was, he was the nice guy. He was the guy who believed in doing debates. He believed in, and there's a time that, you know, before 2020, I would have believed in the debates. And Charlie Kirk still did. He still did the campus events. He still did a lot of the activism, you know, man on the street, but in the campus type of event, despite the fact that, you know, the tide had kind of moved on from that. Like, that wasn't as trendy anymore, but he kept doing it. So Charlie Kirk was the nice guy in a way because, you know, he believed in having dialogue with the left and liberals and stuff like that. If anything, it was people on the right that he might have been more weary of. But we'll get into that later. he was also very loyal to Trump, and Trump definitely felt it. Like, we're not going to play like the 4-minute video that Trump did talking about it, but, you know, I've heard it said, you know, Trump kind of viewed him as like a son in a way, like his fourth son.
I mean, Charlie Kirk was a Trump backer back in 2016. He was an early leader of Trump, of the Trump movement, which is why replacing him will be very difficult, because it would have to be someone of that caliber. That's not going to be Ben Shapiro or most of the Daily Wire guys. So it would need to be someone that was in tune with the base for that long. And that's not a long list.
No, it's really not. Like, this is not, let me just say some things about, you know, the people in Mid-Eva, because I want to kind of shame them for a minute, because all these people that were posturing like, ooh, I'm going to take John McCarthy, you know, I'm in the wings just waiting, and I'm going to absorb Pastor John MacArthur's market share and stuff like that. Like, all these people in Mid-Eva just care about the market share of their ministries versus their direct competitors' ministries. And to their shame, Conservative Inc. has not been doing that with Charlie Kirk in the wake of his death. They've not been doing that. It has not been like, oh, who's going to get Charlie Kirk's audience? Like, there is none of that going on. And, you know, that's to the shame of Mid-Eva. But that is to the credit of a political movement that might actually be uniting. So, I guess one thing we can talk about is Unite the Right. I don't know if you have any thoughts on
how this will affect
that. Because, you know, you wrote an article that discussed some of this.
Yeah, I mean, Trump, Kirk's benefit was that he was able to run a very versatile organization that reached a lot of, across the various generations. I mean, again, I think his utility was more than just he was the guy that went to the college campuses, because if anything, that was, I want to say, a smaller part of his brand towards the end than it was in the beginning. Because obviously you're running a massive organization, so you need to be in the CEO board, the C-suite, so to speak, not necessarily the man on the street. But obviously he still probably wanted to take part in that, because that's part of who he is. But yeah, he had a top podcast in conservative media.
It was top five, I think.
He had effectively displaced CPAC with America Fest. So that, and again, that's a huge development as far as America Fest supplanting CPAC. He had launched TPUSA Faith, which had some problems. And honestly, one thing that's bad about him departing is that he's not able to like see that thing, that project, through to a much better state. It had improved, but it hadn't quite gotten to where it needed to be. So there's some lost potential there. But yeah, I mean, he was a lot more than just the guy at the college campuses. But I mean, if we're talking about whether this can unite the right, yeah, you're seeing a lot of that right now, but you are seeing a lot of bad actors try to come in. And this would be the James Lindsay types, the kosher conservatives that are trying to like say that Kirk was our guy. It's just like, no, he wasn't.
Like, yeah, I'll get like that.
James Lindsay was literally bashing Kirk right before, on the 9th.
Tuesday.
Yeah, for making the Irina case in Charlotte about race. So that was what a lot of those people were doing with Charlie Kirk right before he died. And that's the direction Charlie Kirk was in just as he died.
Just to speak on the talent of Charlie Kirk, he is a fantastic orator. Like, he is a great speaker and very polished when he presents ideas. Like, he is talented. I did not like his Twitter game. And going back to, like, 2017 is where I'm, you know, 2017, 2018... My first impression of Charlie Kirk was not positive, and I just want to be very clear about that. I have come a long way on Charlie Kirk.
Kirk has come a long way.
And he's come a long way, too. But my impression of him was not positive. I kind of viewed him as the white male version of Candace Owens, who I also did not like when she emerged because, you know, it was clearly tokenism at the time. Like, Candace Owens clearly... was a token who was being promoted by all a lot of the same people that were kind of promoting Charlie Kirk. And, you know, just to get into the campus ministries, you know, I was young, you know, I was like, Charlie Kirk's only like 2 years older. I was not into the campus ministries. You know, my view of college is get in, get out. I don't care about TPUSA. Didn't care about Young Americans for Liberty, Young Americans for Freedom, Young Americans for smoke weed all day and enjoy our guns or whatever. All these other campus organizations that were really just vying for market share at the time. It does seem like TPUSA is what won out. But I wasn't, or Young Republicans, you know, all these different campus organizations. It's like they, to me, it's like, it's just a vanity project because you're treating college like a summer camp, which rubbed me the wrong way when I'm actually going to college and treating it like a, you know, it's just a transaction. So I didn't like that. I didn't like a lot of the personalities that came up. And the 2019 Groiper Wars really kind of exposed Charlie Kirk in my mind. And, you know, because he was peddling gay conservatives. So he, you know, gay conservatism was basically promoted by Charlie Kirk. And there was this whole rift about what are we trying to conserve. And out of that, Charlie Kirk has shifted. He, I think, realized that he was wrong in some areas and said, you know, TPUSA faith is an outgrowth of Charlie Kirk's shift and adopting a more Christian, overtly Christian posture. So Charlie Kirk, in the last thing that I said about Charlie Kirk prior to him passing away was, you know, kind of ironic. I'll pull it up so I can read it because, you know, it's sort of a backhanded compliment. And if I can pull it up.
Yeah, I've always described Kirk as the embodiment of the Overton window. Even in my article on him, on his assassination, I still use that language to describe him. And I don't necessarily mean that as a pejorative, because if anything, if you recognize that he was the Overton window, then you would recognize that he's a friend, that you do not attack him.
Yeah. So, and along those lines, so Captive Dreamer, I'm sure you're familiar with who that is. Charlie Kirk is outflanking nearly the entire dissident right and doing so while having the ear of the highest echelons of our federal government. Great to see. And that's in response to Charlie Kirk. He shifted right and on a lot of issues, and the specific issue in context was Indian immigration. And, you know, America would not be America if it was 90% Indian but Christian. It would not actually be America. And what I said was, the great thing about Charlie Kirk is that he will adopt positions he previously opposed because of bullying. And that's a backhanded compliment, but that is someone who changes. And I think it's somewhat of a, I think it's mostly a genuine change. For instance, if he were shameless, there wouldn't be a trend line of his shift in position. It would not be something that is documentable or trackable. Because Matt Walsh, for instance, has also had genuine changes, I would say. But someone who's shameless, like, their positions are all over the place because of what that talent network is, you know, paying them to say. Like, all those people that peddled, like Chad Prather and all those other people who peddled, like, the Big Soda talking points late last year or earlier this year. So there's a lot of people that are shameless that change their positions on a dime because of the money. But Charlie Kirk wasn't like that. He changed positions a lot, but it wasn't because of money. It was because he read the room.
He changed his positions in a direction.
Yes. It was a consistent direction.
Now,
he was consistently moving right.
And with regards to Kirk, I mean, Kirk's going through a, you know, he went probably on the libertarian to right-wing pipeline. He was just a little bit behind a lot of us on the right, but he was still going on that journey. And J.D. Vance went on that journey. J.D. Vance was never Trump in 2020. I mean, you can go back to him basically hating Trump, and then all of a sudden he's Trump's vice president. He went MAGA before he was elected senator. So he went through a lot of changes, especially, and again, it's more tied to his conversion to Roman Catholicism. But yeah, he went through huge changes, and we got to acknowledge that people are allowed to change. And Charlie Kirk changed too. And I mean, again, you go back to 2023, Charlie Kirk was studying Machiavelli.
And the important thing about acknowledging that people are allowed to change is he was never a Democrat. Like, sorry, if you voted for Hillary Clinton, you have no business talking about politics to anyone. I'm just going to be real. You voted for Joe Biden, you have no business talking about politics to anyone. Yeah, along those lines, why TPUS? I think it was TPUSA that was having Danica Patrick speak at their event. It's like, why?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't without some cringe even this year, but I mean, yeah, I mean, assuming Charlie Kirk isn't like day-to-day running every single project, and obviously,
yeah. It's bigger than him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he wasn't... So he's allowed, to me, someone like that who's, you know, part of MAGA day one is allowed to shift on some issues and still retain leadership. To me, you're not allowed to leave the left and then, you know, get into the front, you know, be in the front of the line on the right. Like, that to me is unacceptable. And so that's my read. So Charlie Kirk is allowed to change. And I think the most fascinating thing, and maybe this is a hot take, but I think he would eventually have come around on the Zionist issue. He was a staunch Zionist.
There were signs already.
He was a staunch Zionist. But he was wrestling with the noticing, because there are clips of him, and maybe I can pull those up. There are clips of him acknowledging that, Jewish donors backed all the liberal causes, and... You know, there's clips of him saying that. He tried to do the whole Winston Churchill triangulation about, you know, the international Jew and the Bolshevik Jew. He tried to do the Winston Churchill triangulation. But, you know,
keep in mind, he's doing that on camera, which means he might be trying to sell it to his audience.
Exactly. But the fact is, he's having these conversations, and I did a video called, like, Rare Base Moment. But he also did the idolatry at the Western Wall, which I called out at the time also. But I do think on a long enough timeline, had he lived longer, you know, sanctification, you would have seen him come to grips with that question on that issue. I think you would have seen him.
I think he would have at least taken a Matt Walsh position of, like, we shouldn't be giving any money in them. We shouldn't be involved with them. I'm fine with them existing. Good for you. You do your thing. But yeah, he probably would have taken more of a Matt Walsh position in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I think Matt Walsh working at the Daily Wire has made him more anti-Israel. But I could be wrong about that. But yeah, Charlie Kirk had a lot to wrestle with as far as that goes. He could not just come out full-based and... what's the way to put it? Like, okay, maybe we can dive into this because we've already touched on the Charlie Kirk and the Israel question. But let me pull up a clip that there's a certain tweet that made the rounds, and that was by the InfoWars guy. I'm gonna pull up his name in a second, but he made a video. If I can find it. So he made a post back in August claiming that Charlie Kirk was afraid of Israel you know, that Israel would kill him. And this made the rounds yesterday for obvious reasons. No,
that one I saw, yeah.
I think I saw that at the time, too. So, I can pull. Yeah, it's Harrison Smith over at InfoWars. He says, let me pull it up. I'm not going to name names, but it was told by someone close to Charlie Kirk that Charlie thinks Israel will kill him if he turns against them. Which is, again, very fascinating. Again, it's tweeted on August 13th. It is hearsay. It is hearsay. I will say, just to be clear, like, that wouldn't necessarily be admissible in court. But, first of all, not all hearsay is inadmissible, just as a thing. But, nevertheless, Kirk is dead. And, you know, the impression that, hey, there might be some truth to this. And Harrison tweeted this after seeing a video of... Harrison Smith has tweeted before about Charlie Kirk sounding scared of dealing with Israel. And then the story behind this tweet, he did a video follow-up yesterday, was that he was talking to his friend about how Charlie Kirk sounded scared of the Israel question. And then his friend told him, who's a friend of Charlie Kirk, that Charlie Kirk was afraid that Israel would kill him if he turned against him. And, you know, I will say, this assassination was done professionally enough to give some credence that Israel did it. Netanyahu kind of gave the impression earlier today that, you know, it was the Islamists that did it. Which does not hold water because this is way too competent to have been done by a bunch of Muslims. So.
I mean, it's again, I don't buy into it just yet until there's actual evidence. Of,
I don't buy. Okay, so it's tinfoil hat time. It's tinfoil hat time. We're going to indulge the tinfoil hat a little bit. I don't think Israel killed Charlie Kirk. That is the most retarded thing that they could do, is kill Charlie Kirk. He is the biggest name under the age of 40 in the United States that is pro-Israel.
Still positive. That's still kind of positive.
Yes. Like, he is their, like, that's the best they got moving forward. Charlie Kirk, under 40, pro-Israel. You kill him, who's going to take that mantle? No way. Or maybe they did do it just as a show because of, you know, the Zionist cause is spurging out. We've talked before about Israel kind of lashing out because they know their days are numbered when it comes to support in the United States. They know that their days are numbered in the United States, in the church, because dispensationalism is also going wayward. So, yeah, they know. So they're lashing out at people like Charlie Kirk. That would be one. That's one explanation for how that would make sense in an irrational world. It to me is not very compelling, but it does make sense that they would lash out even at their friends.
Well, I think the problem is they already did their lash out.
Yeah, you know, it's like Athens attacking a neutral island in the Peloponnesian War. You know, stupid decisions are made that have devastating consequences to a cause.
Yeah, but they already lashed out when they decided to get Trump to bomb Iran. Like, that was their episode. Like, they cashed in a lot of chips on that one in June. Like, I don't think that was their tantrum. Like,
yeah, yes,
they don't have enough energy in them.
Yeah, so I don't buy the Israel axed off Charlie Kirk. I just don't think that is wildly unstrategic for them to have done that. No way they did that, in my opinion. I don't buy the Netanyahu insinuation that Muslims did it because, you know, this had a degree of competency that I don't expect from Muslims. And
no, let's be honest. No one's surprised that it was a white man that did it.
And I don't think it was a transvestite that did it because it doesn't, I don't think that they can shoot. I don't think they can shoot that well. So, yeah, I think this is more of an Antifa thing. That's my personal opinion.
The John Brown Society isn't. Because again, there is a rising tide under the surface of like left wing militantism.
Yeah, and the liberals are trending in this direction.
And you saw this with a lot of the ICE stuff where they were targeting ICE personnel and they would use fireworks.
Ambush.
Yes, they would use fireworks first and then use live ammunition. And this is part of the reason why the ICE people are going mask on basically wearing ski mask.
Even though they're not skiing.
Even though they're not skiing.
So, yeah, what's happening is just insane. So, there's also along the schizoid, while we're on the tinfoil hat section of this, Netanyahu personally requested Charlie Kirk visit Israel 2 weeks before his assassination. Kirk was rumored to have denied the request. So, but we won't know. That's from AF Post. That's from Legit Targets. It's a Twitter handle behind that. But they're a little bit of a propagandist in disclosure and stuff. Charlie Kirk was doing a lot of good in the world, but he was also somewhat of a street evangelist. So I kind of want to touch on that as well. I got a video from... it's from the Whatever podcast. So we've talked about Whatever podcast before.
And keep in mind, this was another area where he had also probably transformed, because he became anti-birth control in the past year. Or he had a huge moment where he went anti-birth control in the past year.
So here's Charlie Kirk on the Whatever podcast.
And I can tell you, I'm super blessed. I have the best wife in the world. We have an amazing life. Building a family is the coolest thing ever. And my prayer for all of you is that you one day can do that.
That's so cute.
It's honestly the most joyful thing. And I've had some pretty amazing experiences. I've been very, very blessed. Very lucky, you could say, but very blessed is the word I would use. And the greatest joy I've ever had is coming home to my little daughter running up to my leg. There's nothing that even comes close to it. Not flying on Air Force One, not meeting with presidents. That's all that pales in comparison to your little girl coming up and squeezing your leg.
Oh.
And I can tell you, I'm super blessed. I have the best wife in the world. We have an amazing life. Building a family.
You're muted.
That's just one clip. There's another clip from that exchange where he talked about the design for life and for marriage. Maybe I can find that clip as well. But
even in that clip, you're seeing that he's able to kind of like effectively shame them for being so vapid. And here he is. He can basically humble brag at how he's flown on Air Force One and like he's had the high life experience, probably richer than they are, even though they're hoes that are like,
Yeah, he's talking to a bunch of
on the high end of OnlyFans.
Yeah, he's talking to some ethos there. So.
So it's like he can basically say, "Yeah, I have all the earthly amenities, and your own child running up to you is still better than all of that." Like,
and along, he had like Lamar Jackson retweet him or something, because what is he often been doing? Posting on he's posting the name of Christ, and one of the last major tweets that he gave was about proclaiming the name of Jesus. So yeah, Charlie Kirk, I do believe, was a devout Christian. I do think God was had begun a work in him that has been completed now, and he died in part for the cause of Christ. He is someone that definitely took a bullet for the cause, for his country. And along those lines, this is, to me, I opened up this live stream saying that this is one of the most significant events of the year. But this is the most significant political assassination since JFK, at least as far as America is concerned. Like, this is way worse than the MLK assassination, which I think is a valid comparison. Because first of all, they're both political assassinations. I'm not super informed on the MLK stuff, but assuming the worst case possible that the government, whacked him, which, who knows, other least political explanation would be that it was just a, gang violence or whatever, that, he was sowing and reaping and stuff like that. But Anyway, just going to assume the political violence narrative there, because no reason not to for this. Yeah, let's be real. Charlie Kirk was at the height of his popularity, or at least up there. MLK was like, his popularity was revived from having been assassinated. Like,
yeah, he was not popular functionally martyred.
Yeah, he was not popular in 1968, 1969.
No, I would say he was probably never popular.
That yeah, that's
his,
probably true.
Even his popularity was kind of a myth, because Americans didn't even want civil rights.
Americans voted for Richard Nixon, overwhelmingly.
And again, so, what Americans thought civil rights actually was just like anti-Southern attitudes of like the North and the West.
So, yeah. So the comparison in, you know, was made, and that's like my tweet that went super viral. It's like, this is way worse than the MLK assassination. And because to me, it's like, I'm definitely like, this has definitely shaken me in a way. Like, it's definitely been a cause for sadness. You know, the stuff that we do online, you know, affecting, you know, I don't want to say the emotional health, because you know, it's a little bit too new agey and psychobabble. But yeah, like it is definitely engendered feelings in me of sadness, mostly sadness. Like I wish I was, I don't want to say I wish I was more angrier, but it's just mostly just sad. I'm just very sad about the situation more than I'm angry about the situation, because I know it's like, okay, we will demand justice, but you know, I'm going to, and I will speak on demanding justice, but you know, I'm just still bummed out about the situation, because this is really bad again.
Yeah, I was shocked, honestly. Like, and again, keep in mind, this issue is compounding after what happened in Charlotte, because that video was going viral for the last couple of days.
Which is compounding what, you know.
And then Kirk, and again, both areas to the neck. Like, one was shanked in the neck, the other was shot in the neck, and you see it on video. So you're seeing one major violent event that is really awakening on the civil rights issue, and then you're seeing another, which is awakening on the leftist violence issue. And both of them are the same thing. They're both leftist versions of violence. One is just anarcho-tyranny, and the other is much more organized. And that's the rising tide. And both of them are, really both of them are rising tides of leftism in America.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's the consequences of this will be far-reaching for the right wing, because it's like, this has shaken us all. I think, you know, most people on the right are feeling this way. It is, you know, Charlie Kirk was a moderate compared to a lot of us. He was not the most, you know, I don't want to say he was not the most based. He was more normie con. I don't want to say boomer con, but because he was moving the boomer cons. So he was leading the boomer cons. He spoke to young people, but, you know, was largely effective on the boomers on the right, and he was moving them to the right little by little, a little slower than me, but he was moving them. And yeah, that's going to be very difficult to replace. That's not going to be, you know, like, we lost something here.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, you know, it was King Pilled who was saying that, you know, he actually, you know, Kirk actually could have been like presidential material later down the road. Like, that's how high. And I know Candace Owens said it too, but I'll refer to someone who's actually intelligent. And yeah, I mean, if you actually think about it, he would be just barely of age in 2028 to be Vance's VP. So it's just like, he actually could have had major political aspirations in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the last major tweets of Charlie Kirk, which she's been going hard on the issue of Irina Zarudska. And, you know, but, it, you know, his big tweet before that was, Jesus defeated death so you can live. So I'll put that on the screen. Jesus defeated death so you can live. And, you know, amen to that. That is what Charlie Kirk wants to be known for. So definitely a more somber tone, but Yeah, he's in heaven now, and Trump gave a very good 4-minute speech on this. And, you know, I think this moved the this definitely moved, I don't want to say moved the needle, because I don't think it's like that, but as far as softening Trump's heart to the gospel, to the word of God, I do think that this had a, in it, like Charlie Kirk's faith had an impact on Trump.
Yeah, because he's the one that survived the bullet. And again, you know, because I would say because he survived the bullet, that's part of why like Kirk took the bullet. Because I don't think I don't think Trump dies and Kirk dies. It's so, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to, like, they escalated their violence because Trump was president.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I, and yeah, this is something I've brought up before. I think we're moving into a one-party state because on the federal level, the Democrats are not going to be able to retake the Senate. The rules are changing. They're not going to be able to retake the House. And Republicans have a trifecta in majority of states, give or take. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. So, you know, living in Maryland, so we're going to live in the Democrat holdout, but it's going to be a holdout.
Well, I mean, and keep in mind, the real thing that solidifies that gain is the awakening racial consciousness in America.
Yeah, we're getting white people to stop hating themselves.
Yeah, white people are waking up to their, not to say waking up, but like white people are becoming more racially conscious that the non-whites want to replace them, and two, like black criminality, like that stuff is now reaching the mainstream. And again, yeah, goes back to what were we talking about before Charlie Kirk? Charlotte, and they tried to bury that story from August 22nd.
Yeah, so,
and we are forcing those issues to the table,
right? And along those lines, like you're talking about how the one party state is gonna happen. Like, I think, you know, I'll maybe write an article on this, but you know, we're entering our Caesar era for what America's you know, dictatorship era would look like is one party rule. You know, and we just have a succession of presidents, you know, and, you know, it's just next person up, next person up, next person up. So, you know, Trump now, J.D. Vance, question mark after that, but it's going to be successive Republican presidents. And I don't see that at the moment, you know, Electoral College, like, it's going to be very difficult because the Democrats are not changing their ways for them to ever win on a national level again. They cannot be this anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-male and win at the national level. It's just not going to happen. And they're refusing to moderate. So
they can't. They can't moderate because their next generation is basically like half third worldist. Like you have a whole slate of Democrats that are just Zoran Mondani.
Yeah.
Or Ilhan Omar.
So
another Somalian in Minnesota, like that's their future. That's their bench. Like, this is why it's just like, it makes no sense on the right. You know, what if the roles were reversed? Like, who would you assassinate on the Democrats that would actually like improve America?
They're a hive mind.
But again, let's say you assassinate Pelosi. The person that replaces her will inevitably be worse and probably more third world.
She's
the competent one.
Like,
she's the one that's actually intelligent.
Weren't they blaming Republicans for like political assassinations in Minnesota? It's like, why would someone who's right wing attack the least liberal Democrats in the Minnesota legislature who just voted against the party lines? Like, wouldn't that be a Democrat who did that?
Wasn't it over like driver's license for illegals or something like trivial?
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, like they went against party lines on something very trivial, but nevertheless, they went against party lines. Like, why would they be targeted? It makes no sense. So, yeah, left-wing all this was going down the rabbit trail of saying, because the Republicans are going to win on the national level for the foreseeable future, my take, liberal agitators are going to be an issue for the foreseeable future because they cannot win on the national level. They're going to resort to violence, and that is going to be their way of doing it. And as they become more flooded with third worlders, more flooded with hormone replacement therapies, and all this other nonsense, they are going to be increasingly violent. And that is what I think happened here. But we've already seen what the Antifa dweebs are doing elsewhere, you know, against ICE. We've already seen, you know, it's a Ukraine simp that wanted to kill President Trump before the election last year. So we've seen a lot of left-wing activists resort to violence. And I think that trend is going to continue for about the next 10 years, give or take. So.
And again, you're going to see organized and then disorganized. So obviously disorganized would be the shooters. So they're creating a bunch of crazy people on SSRI medication. Obviously, they're letting a bunch of feral criminals out on the streets. So you have those two instances, which will be unorganized, disorganized violence. And then you're going to have these more Antifa, the real rising tide or rising threat will be these more organized dudes that are, you know, the pro-Ukraine activists that wanted to shoot Trump on the golf course, or even like Thomas Crooks or Cooks. And then obviously whoever this shooter is.
Right. So, I'm not sure how much I want to take. I'll do a last call for questions unless you want to keep going. But you know, I think the solution to the problem is, you know, was it Sumerian pervert kind of said it best. We're going to make Sulla look like Paul Ryan. I think that's the solution.
Well, and keep in mind, there actually is a lot of action being taken. Like the people that were celebrating the Kirk assassination are being recorded. They are being documented. They are being documented by our people. So our people are in the trenches documenting these people, getting them fired from their jobs. We're going to go after them. You're going to punish them. And again, you know, I saw one of the guys I follow, I think he was quoting like Eric Prince, and he was saying that, you know, an army doesn't lose when their leaders are killed. They lose when they surrender when they lose like 30%+ of their force. So, I mean, if we can just rack up enough casualties on their end, and I mean that not necessarily as in their bodies being casualties, but like we take away their jobs, we cancel them, we didn't, you know.
Put them in jail for crimes that they've committed. Crimes,
yes. If we basically take them off the board, then they will eventually capitulate completely. So it can be done. Like, we're not losing to like the world's strongest enemy of all time. We're literally losing to people that are disgenic. They are freaks. They are basically going against the tide of history. They're not even representing a nation. They're
God gave us the gayest enemies.
Yes, he gave us the gays.
He didn't give us like the scary Mongoloid hordes.
He didn't give us the Turks.
Genghis Khan. He didn't give us the Turks. He didn't give us the Islamic armies at their height, which, again, you know, the Western European peoples would not have fallen to either the Mongols or the Islamic hordes.
I mean, he gave us queers and people who shoot their guns sideways.
And just, you know, third worlders that love stabbing people. But we can definitely recover from this. So there's another take I wanted to give. Actually, let's talk about the people that are trying to like coach the reaction on the right. I got a tweet from, man, what's his name? It's the Mikhail Olson guy who
basically tried to go after Joel Webbin for having a gay brother.
He's that guy, but he also, you know, is trying to, you know, beefing with Matt Walsh, and he's like, he compared, you know, he went after Matt Walsh for being angry about the situation. And Matt Walsh, I'm glad he's able to get angrier, you know, faster than I can, because we need that on the right at the moment. You know, I'm not saying we need to have days of rage, but, you know, spelled out. But yeah, it's like he tweeted, yep, the Anakin Skywalker is a perfect example of what will happen if we give them into vengeance. It's like, first of all, justice of the state is not vengeance, but more importantly, the liberal mind exists in fiction. And you saw that with Rand Paul going to Rand Paul went to the example of To Kill a Mockingbird, which I've never read To Kill a Mockingbird, and at this point I'm too afraid to start.
I have read it in eighth grade, but yeah, again, these issues are back to back. And again, there's almost a providence in that, that if you're going to shake a country, you put these two issues back to back. And again, what do you have the people doing? We're going to refer to fiction because, you know, we can't actually think in real life. We can't think in real terms. Everything has to be this weird black versus white morality. There's no ambiguity. It has to be clearly defined. Or again, I'm surprised no one used Lord of the Rings just yet on this.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, Lord of the Rings is the ultimate used by people who claim to be Christian to
neuter.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Emasculate the people that want to actually wield the sword of power for good, because, you know, Romans 13 doesn't treat the sword as, you know, the ring that can't be used for good because it was made strictly for evil. To kill a mockingbird is basically Green Mile. That's good. I suppose that's good. So, yeah, let's just. It's disgusting, you know, the liberals trying to do that. But along those lines, we need to unify, but we also need to purge out the James Lindsay followers because they're not on our side. So, but the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, there's
who are not libertarians and not James Lindsay disciples. We all need to unite.
Yeah, I mean, there should be no unity with people who want to replace you in your own country or who want to basically have your neighborhoods terrorized by minority criminals. Like, no unity with those people.
Yeah.
And no unity with people who would prevent you from dealing with those problems.
All right. So let's get into questions. But first, you have Super Chat from the Bishop of the Railway for $50 Canadian. Maybe it was at $43 US. The comments under the Unholy Post video on this tragedy are filled with people talking about how Mr. Kirk's rhetoric was hateful, dehumanizing, and unchristlike. These people are not ready for the next generation.
Again, those people probably call themselves Christian. Yeah.
They will simply screech and reeze how that concludes, but it doesn't show up on the banner. Yeah, they're not ready for they've already lost the next generation. And this assassination just secured that they've lost the next generation. So,
and again, Holy Post, that's, you know, Phil Vischer, VeggieTales guy.
Oh, yes. Speaking of Phil Vischer, he tried to be like, political polarization is killing us. It's like, no, your side's agitators are killing us. So, yeah. Phil Vischer's VeggieTales guy, said it before, never going to let my kids watch VeggieTales because of him. I never watched VeggieTales growing up. You know, wouldn't have appealed to me with SpongeBob and Avatar The Last Airbender existing anyway. But still, you've cost it for my kids and probably a lot of other right-wing Christian kids. So you got maybe liberals that want feel-good television, but they're probably going to let their kids watch, like, you know, whatever the gay kid shows are. Like, I thought Bubble Guppies was gay, but that's just me. And then... What are the other gay ones? Paw Patrol. Yeah, that's that.
So they definitely made that.
That one's definitely gay. But anyway, that's enough hot takes on children's little kid shows. I saw a question in here.
There's one.
Question: do you think the Trump administration will actually clamp down hard on the left-wing crazies after this, or will it be another monitoring the situation thing?
They definitely are. And again, we have to help them do this. A lot of people on the right are amplifying these messages. We're going after the ones in the military. Pete Hegseth, who has been a very great Secretary of War, I'll call
Christian
him
Nationalist. Yep, they've rebranded now.
And he has done a fantastic job, much better than I could have expected, given his like almost inexperience and like high-level management. And yeah, he is going after these people if they're under his branch. So if they're under the DOD, he is going after them. And again, you see other agencies are going to do the same, but we do have to put the pressure on. And yeah, if they're inside the administration, people inside the administration are taking notes. We have our guys inside the administration, so you actually can have some, put some stock into
it. And along the lines of the, you know, one-party rule, that I think is going to happen, the deep state will be all Republican and based. Again, liberals, they're kind of on ice. Like, right now, the deep state is liberal. Like, the administrative state is liberal. But those people are not going to get, you know, if Republicans maintain power, which I think they're going to do, the deep state as it exists now, will the administrative state will be conservative and red, and they're not gonna do it. So, and then we got a troll question: did God decree the shooter's bullet or not? All things are according to God's providence. That's what I believe. And, you know, Romans 8:28 tells us that for believers, all things work together for, you know, the good of those who are called, those who love God. So it might not look like it has a reason to those who hate God, but to those who love God, there's purpose in this. So, yeah, there's free will on the part of the shooter. But God's ultimately the author of what happens in his creation because he created it. So that's my answer. And, you know, Charlie Kirk, along those lines, well done, good and faithful servant. So
I see this one here as well that I think is interesting. It's Gavin Newsom gave a friendly interview to Charlie Kirk a while back. He's trying to rebrand as the moderate / non-crazy Democrat. Again, I do not think Gavin Newsom will be the nominee in 2028 because if he can't win the black voters in South Carolina and the rest of the Deep South by extension, he can't be the Democrat nominee. So does he actually have an ability to win those specific voters? Because it doesn't matter if you win Iowa and New Hampshire, you have to actually win South Carolina.
He needs a hood pass. That's what you're saying.
The ability of the Democrats to rebrand under Newsom, I don't see it. And I don't think we know who the current Democrat nominee is. Our governor, Wes Moore, has said he's not running, but, you know, that could be I'm not running because I got re-election next year. I'm not running. So you don't want to, like, go into Maryland general election, the Maryland gubernatorial elections and say, I'm not running for governor or I'm running for president. You don't want to do that, but. So it could be that scenario. I do think he could be a Barack Obama 2.0. But yeah, I don't think we know who the Democrat nominee will be. And I don't think it will be Newsom.
All right. Well, thank you all for the comments. And thank you all for interacting and watching. Definitely hit the like button on your way out. And subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you're new. My name is Reyes Anthony. Have a blessed night, stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.